Why don't people offer tochacha nowadays? It seems that there's this halacha that if you see someone doing something wrong, you should tell them that they're doing something wrong. And yet many people, many good people who generally follow halacha, do not engage in this practice. And the question is why? So the Gemara in Erechin will begin there. And the Gemara says, Minayin l'ro b'chaveiro davar meguneh shechayav lochicha. How do you know that if you see something negative in your friend, about your friend, that you need to rebuke him? Because the pasuk says, "Ochiach tochiach," you should rebuke him. And the double language of tochiach means you should do it multiple times. And the Gemara goes on to say, how far do you go? Until what point do you rebuke someone? And there are three opinions of the Gemara. One opinion is ad hakah, until the person hits you or about to hit you. Another opinion is ad klal, till the person curse you or about to curse you. And someone else, another opinion is ad nazifa, until he's about to reprimand you, until he's about to get angry. The truth is, there are some conflicting sources, seemingly conflicting sources in the Gemara about the extent to which you should rebuke. There's a Gemara, even though there's also a Gemara in Shabbos, which says that Rav Zera said to Rav Simon that you should rebuke the head of the Exilar, the house of the Exilar, because even the, and Rav Simon responded back, but they're not going to listen to me. And Rav Zera said, no, you should still rebuke them anyway. Nevertheless, there's a Gemara in Yevamos, Samachem Rebbe, says that just like there's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, so too there's a mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. And there's a Gemara in Be'ed that says, and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says that if the Jewish people, if the people are doing something unintentionally, mutav shiyu shogim v'al yinu mezidim, better that they sin unintentionally rather than sin intentionally. How do we reconcile all these Gemaras? So the way the Ramah reconciles these Gemaras is that if someone's sinning unintentionally, or a group of people are sinning unintentionally, and the halacha is not explicit in the Torah, they don't know from this, and you believe that they're not going to listen to you, then we don't say anything. But what if they're sinning intentionally? You know they're doing something wrong, and let's say they're not going to listen. So if we're talking about a group, so based on how the Ritva understands how to reconcile these Gemaras. And the Ramah passing like him, like the Ritva and the Mukha Yosef, he says you rebuke them once. In other words, the Ritva and the Mukha Yosef understand that the Gemara in Shabbos, which says that you should rebuke a group of people, even if they're not going to listen, he means rebuke them once. And the Gemara in Yevamos, which says don't say something that won't be heard, that's talking about for a group of people, if they're sinning intentionally, more than once. Rebuke them once, but not more than once. So for a group of people, rebuke them once. But for an individual, you should rebuke them until they're about to hit you until they're about to curse you. The question is, we don't do that, it seems. Do we rebuke someone until they're about to hit you or curse you? Jesus, the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, it's enough until the person's about to get really angry at you. But is that true? Is that what we do? So the truth is, there's really another school of thought that found in the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Sefer Chinuch. So the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch basically say the same thing. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, that if you see, if you see that no one's going, that person's not going to listen to you, then you should be quiet. And the Sefer Chinuch basically says the same thing, that if you see that there's no purpose to your tochacha because of mitol goldo rasha achote, because the person is just a sinner, a wicked person, a tremendous sinner, so then you don't have to say anything. And he quotes this Gemara in Yevamos that there's a mitzvah not to say something that won't be heard. So maybe there are different levels. They're not going to listen, but maybe if you really believe they're not going to listen, maybe there's a separate level. Maybe they argue on the Ramah. The Rashba also has a line in the Tshuva, in Chelek Hei, Siman Reish Lamed Ches, where he says that L'kol Zman Muzuman V'alamas Ayin Mina Over L'itim Mitzvah V'kol Lefi Tzorach HaShah. That he says that there are times when sort of looking away from those who are violating is a mitzvah, and it really depends on the needs of the hour. And a wise person will at times look away. So again, I think there's a school of thought among some Rishonim, and maybe this is what maybe people are following this, maybe not like the Ramah, that even though maybe generally speaking, even if someone is intentionally sinning, you should say something until they're about to get really angry at you. But maybe that's most of the time. And we should always keep in mind some of the time that it might be sometimes better to not say anything. If someone is not halachically observant, then that's another reason not to rebuke. The Be'er Halacha writes that Elu aporke o legamri going to machal shavs for hesya o ochal neveos lahachis. Those people who threw off the yoke of Torah completely, like those who violate Shabbos publicly or eat non-kosher food to anger Hashem, kvar yatsa miklal misecha, they're no longer considered amisecha, veinu mechuyav lochicha, and you're not obligated to rebuke them. So, okay, someone who's not from publicly violates Shabbos, so then maybe there's no obligation to rebuke. But there are many from people. So we're relying on the Rashba. You have to use your judgment. It seems to go against the Ramah. Just want to point out, if there's going to be a financial loss, you also don't have to rebuke. If you're working in a company, and it could be that by telling someone they're doing something wrong, you might get fired. So then there's room to be lenient. In Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Siman Shin Lamadal Sif Memchas, he says, actually quotes the Ramah, says, Lachein Nagu Lahakal Milim Chos Bovi Avera. Practice is to be lenient among those who, from protesting those who sin, Shishlachu Shiyu Omdi Malkufenu Umodenu, because we're concerned that they will fight back or they will respond, maybe harming us physically or harming us financially. He said that because even though we're supposed to protest, but you don't have to lose money on this. In other words, if you don't have to rebuke someone, someone's about to hit you or curse you, certainly you don't have to lose money for this. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, or Chaim Chelek Hei, Siman Yud Gimel says the same thing, that if you're in a partnership and by protesting someone's behavior, you might get fired or he might oust you from the partnership, then you have no obligation to lose money for the mitzvah of tochacha. The Birka Yosef also has another exception, I like to call the no ability to effectuate change exception. The Birka Yosef says that really the only time you're obligated to rebuke is, number one, even if they're not going to listen, even if they're not going to accept it, you have to have some ability to effectuate change, meaning what he calls hainu kishi yadeinu tekifa al ha'ovrim, when you have something over those who are violating, who are committing the sin. The only time you have to give tochacha is not only, it's true that even if they're not going to listen, you still have to rebuke them. Why? There has to be some kind of power you have over them to effectuate change. It has to be somewhat productive. That's how the Birka Yosef understands it. He said, if you really have no ability to effectuate change, and you know they're not going to listen, there's no mitzvah to rebuke them. And the Be'er Halacha quotes this, but he said the Smak argues. So it's not clear we call it the Birka Yosef, but maybe if you basically see just someone who is rebuking someone, I'm sorry, if you see someone behaving inappropriately and you really have no way, you have no upper hand on them, you have no power over them, and you have no way to influence them, then maybe you're not obligated. So even though the Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, seems to say, well, maybe if we hold like the smack against the Birka Yosef, the Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Birka Yosef, Chelak Yud Gimel Siman Samach Gimel, and he says that, yeah, we follow this. He says that when there's tarte l'reusa, there are two reasons to not rebuke. Number one is lo makabli mina, you know they're not going to listen. Vegam ein yodin tekifa, we don't have strength over them, we don't have power to effectuate their change. Azay ein bichla mitzvah tochacha, there's no mitzvah tochacha. So maybe this whole line of the Ramah where it says you have to rebuke them when they're not going to listen, it's only when you have some power over them. So maybe we're holding like the Birka Yosef, why we're not rebuking people nowadays. Also, the Magen Avraham, he cites the Sefer Chasidim in Siman, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Reish Ches, Sif Katan Gimel, he cites this Sefer Chasidim in Siman Tav Yud Gimel, he says, Davke Ishas Achiv, Shalibo Gaspo. The only time you are obligated to rebuke is someone who you're friendly with. But if it's another person that if you rebuke him, he's going to hate you and he's going to take revenge upon you, you're not supposed to rebuke someone. Someone's really going to hate you, take revenge, concerned about that. So also you don't have to rebuke. So if you ask why do people not rebuke people nowadays, other people nowadays, many people don't rebuke other people nowadays. So again, it could be that we're holding like the Rashba's view that sometimes you have to use common sense when not to rebuke. If they're going to take revenge on you, against you, if they're going to cause financial loss, you don't have to rebuke. If they're not firm anymore, there's no chiv of rebuking. And maybe, it may be also, you may hold like the Birka Yosef, that if you really have no ability to effectuate change, there's no obligation to rebuke. That being said, this halacha, the important thing to note, the Divrei Yatziv points out that, yeah, you don't have to rebuke someone when it's, let's say, a Beidam Lamakom sin. But if let's say, someone is harming someone else, if I rebuke him, he's going to be upset at me. No, but if there's a victim there and you have to stop this to save the victim, then you have a responsibility. You can't just say, oh, he doesn't know any better. Better that he sinned unintentionally. Mutav shu shogin, better that he sinned unintentionally. No, if he's harming someone, you have to stop him. Right? That's why Moshe went to warn the Divrei Yatziv. That's why Moshe went to, when he saw two people were fighting in Parsha Shmos. So he said, even if they weren't going to listen, but they were fighting with each other. You want to stop someone from hurting someone else, so then you have to warn someone. You can't apply the principle of mutiv shu shogi. The Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. The question was, are you allowed to, or should you, announce before the Tekiah Shofar that people shouldn't talk until after the shofar blowing? And Rav Moshe says, makes two points. Point number one is, if someone's coming to learn a halacha, or is coming to a shir, we don't apply the principle of, oh, mutiv shu shogim, better that they sit down intentionally if you see someone's doing something wrong. If someone's asking you what the halacha is, or someone's coming to the shul to hear a shir, they're expecting the rabbi to tell them what the halacha is. You don't have to sugarcoat. You don't have to tell them not the halacha because they might not listen. The halacha of mutiv shu shogim, better that they sit unintentionally, that's in a situation when you see someone who's doing something wrong. If someone's coming to a shir, coming to you, to the rabbi, they want to know what the halacha is, wants you to give a shir, so then you tell them the shir. And that's number one. And number two, that if some people, let's say, won't listen, and some people will listen, some people may not know this halacha that you can't talk after the bracha until the end of the tekiah, until the end of the shofar blowing. So if some people will listen, you should tell the community when you can't tell some and not others. So even though it's true that some will now sin intentionally, yeah, but there are a whole bunch of people now who follow the mitzvah lahalacha correctly. So as long as there will be some people who will follow the halacha, if you tell them, then better say it. And some people may not listen, now they're going to sin intentionally, but some people now will follow the halacha correctly. And it should also be noted that just like the Rashba writes that sometimes you should use your better judgment and maybe not say something because you don't want to make the situation worse. The flip side is also true. The Shita Mekubetzis in Be'ah, Daf Lamed and Aleph writes, he cites the Ritva, who said in the name of many different Rabbonim, Rav Gadol Ashkenazim, said the name of French rabbis, including the Rami Rundenberg, that, yeah, sometimes don't say anything, but sometimes you need to take a stand. If let's say people are doing a lot of things that are wrong and you feel that, you know, there's going to be a lot really that people are going on a wrong path, society's going on the wrong path, that sometimes you need to make a fence around the Torah. And even when we're dealing with an Isser Drabanan, you need to protest so people don't violate. So sometimes you need to go the other direction. And Be'er Halacha writes in Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, that sometimes in a place where there's apikorsim who are trying to change the Torah, then you need to make a takana, even if a lot of people won't listen and it's going to cause machlokas, sometimes we need to take a stand for Torah. Obviously, these are questions left for our gedolim. Final point I want to make is that this whole question of tochacha is really, what's tochacha? Tochacha is really trying to tell, making someone feel uncomfortable, in a sense, to try to tell them what you're doing is wrong. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And obviously, you try not to make people feel bad, but sometimes you need to tell someone. If you feel like they're committing a sin and the sin is poisonous to their neshama, you're trying to help them out, you're trying to save them. So sometimes it might be okay to offer words of tocha to make someone feel uncomfortable in order to bring them back on the right path. There's another way, though, to deal with people who perhaps are far from Judaism. Again, like people who are not observant at all. There's another approach, another way to bring them to Judaism. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot Aseh Gimel writes that the third mitzvah, right? The third mitzvah is Vahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Including the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is to make Hashem beloved amongst people around you. And he gives an example that Avram was beloved by Hashem, he was an Ohev Hashem. And how is he an Ohev Hashem? Because of, and among other things, as in a proof, Vanefesh Asu B'Charan, that Avram created souls in Charan. That Avram converted many people. Rashi quotes Chazal that Avram was Megayer the Anashim and Sarah was Megayer the Anashim. Avram converted the men to ethical monotheism and Sarah converted the women. He did so, how? Through love. Not through Tocha, but through love. Through showing how beautiful Judaism is. And the Tanya writes in Likutei Amarim, Perek Lamed Beis writes that first you try to do tochacha. You try to rebuke someone, make them feel uncomfortable if they're doing something wrong, if need be. Because sometimes that the only way to change someone is, obviously you can do, obviously if you need to do positive psychology, that's fine. Sometimes the only way you can pressure someone is through tochacha. But you get to a point where they're not going to listen anymore. They're going to hate you. They're going to scream at you. They're going to get angry at you. They're going to hit you. Or even worse, let's say someone remains in a state of sin, totally, let's say someone who is not going to listen to you at all. So the Mishnah says, or Hillel says, Heve me Talmid of Shel Aaron, be among the students of Aaron. Oiv Shalom v'Rodiv Shalom Oiv v'Sabrios v'Karam LaTorah. So you have to seek out peace, but love brios, love people, and bring them close to Torah. He writes, Tanya writes that Afshar Chokim Torah Hashem v'Vodasa. Even those who are distant from the Torah of Hashem and His service, they're still called what? Brios. And what should we do with brios? Oiv v'Sabrios. You should love everyone, and bring them close to Torah. Tzarech l'mashchan bechavli avosos ava. You should drag them with thick ropes of love. And through that, through love, you draw them close to Hashem. So tochacha may be limited depending on the circumstance. But there's always a mitzvah of avas Hashem. And through ava, of other people, you can draw people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that applies to everyone. Both people who may listen and people who don't listen to you. Tocha is making someone feel uncomfortable. And that, again, might be limited. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and could be fulfilled by showing how much you love about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and showing this love to other people, and loving other people, and through that, you can draw everyone closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.